Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, the podcast from the podcaster that's always asking himself, why all these people acting? It's time for the podcast by the podcaster who's always asking, why are all these people acting like human beings? And they said, wait a second, what? It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Or at the very least, makes some part of your limbic system say, what? It's time for sleep. Did I say sleep with me? Hey, people like tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it to bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you up at night, whether you're tossing and turning, you know, you're thinking, you're feeling something physically, emotional turbulence, outside noise. Well, God forbid somebody's mowing their lawn at night. Don't even worry about getting to sleep. You know, go do something or have somebody in your house. You know, try something with a hose, like spraying water. But I mean, I guess if you work the other two shifts, you could have to deal with lawn mowing. And again, I'm happy to compete with the lawnmower, believe me. I haven't met a lawnmower. I've had an opinion about, but we could get into it later. But anyway, I'm going to try to take your mind off of whatever it is. Whatever the proverbial lawnmower is keeping you awake. Is it a metaphorical or proverbial? I guess I'd have to create a proverb about it. The lawnmower that couldn't mow. There you go. That's pretty easy. The lawnmower that mowed the wrong way. Lawnmower that mowed the long way. Lawnmower that rode. The rowing lawnmower. The moan lawnmower. That would be one I think. I think I would like to write that. The moan lawnmower. Because I like whatever that is when the word... is that an onomatopoeia? No, it's definitely not an onomatopoeia. Some people think I do the Porky Pig thing on purpose, I think, but that's just how my mouth works. But anyway, if you're new here, welcome. The podcast is to take your mind off stuff. That's what the safe place is, where you can be distracted by whatever it is that's keeping you up. What I'm going to do is send my voice across the deep, dark night to keep you company, your boyfriend. I'm going to use lowing, soothing tones, pointless pauses and meanders. Actually, usually the pauses aren't point. You wouldn't believe when I'm editing or when I'm listening to someone's editing work how much I, ponder pauses, like in the editing process. I say, and this is a surprise, sad. I guess it's not, it's even boring. It would be sad, maybe like someone like, Ira Glass, could you relate to this Ira Glass? Maybe, maybe not. Say, geez, was that pause too long? Let me re-listen to it. This is true. That's why I'm laughing. I say, okay. How long is a micro? And I still know what all the numbers mean in the editing software, and I changed editing software recently. Now, luckily, it's kind of like a riding the bikes type skill, so it doesn't have a huge impact. But I say, I think I need a little more dead air in there. So that's what I guess that's what the podcast has, a lot of dead air, a deliberate dead air. It has a gratuitous alliteration for sure. But the whole thing is not to put a smile on your face, but to upturn your lips in mild amusement. Is that base level? You say he's base level amusing. No, that means more like when I'm making jokes like that. Anyway, like I'm your boyfriend. What that means is I'm going to sit here via podcast and I guess ideally just talk to you or ramble while you say, well, okay, I'll listen to him. Is he going to go back to that lawnmower stuff, I wonder? And you just sit there, you just kick back. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to listen. You can listen, but you don't have to remember. You're under no pressure or obligation to do any of that. You just lie back, relax, you know, put your feet up. If I guess you're in a bed, so maybe you throw a pillow under there. You know, but if you say, geez, well, where am I going to take it from your partner? They're sound asleep, that jerk. No, they're not a jerk. They can't help it. They can't help that they just fall asleep so easy in such an annoying way. You know, it's just their luck. But anyway, I'll be here. You know, if I could virtually put your feet up, I would. Let's tuck that in there for you. Nothing better than an imaginary foot prop. But I'll just be here rambling. I'll go on tangents. You know, I won't get on a soapbox. But I guess when I get on it, it's like, yeah, that is a soapbox. I don't know why they call it a soapbox when people get on it and they're so irritated. And they got to be so partisan or, you know, drawing the lines and stuff. You say, Jesus, well, that's not what you do with soap. You wash stuff with soap. Why you got to misuse a soapbox like that? Why don't you stand on like a freaking jerk box or something? You know, something hard and cold. I don't know. I guess most things wouldn't. They say, well, the soapbox can take it because it doesn't care. Because it gets the joy. And say, and probably soap would be like, you think it's easy cleaning stuff? I'd rather have people standing on a shouting. Anyway, the most upset I'll get is about people mowing lawns, you know, and then actually I'll get distracted. I guess this is how the podcast works. And I'll say, where were we 8 minutes ago or 6 minutes ago when I was writing? You see, you weren't actually writing. You were just coming up with titles. The known mower. How about that one? That would be the most famous lawnmower. Briggs and Stratton, it would only be one of them, though. Maybe Briggs did something to Stratton, or Stratton did something to Briggs. That would be good. Just so everybody knows, I think that's a fancy lawnmower company. We should say Earl Briggs, the known mower. Coming up on this week's Criminal Court, I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is Criminal. Earl Briggs met Matt Staten, I don't know. Anyway, I can't go on too much of a tangent. But yeah, sorry, I won't go on too much of a tangent, but that's kind of what happens. I get to say, okay, what's that podcast like that Sleep With Me? Well, his openings are kind of like inane humor. I don't know, what's the moderate version of humor? I don't know, last one he was talking about lawnmower autobiographies, I think, the mowing rower, the mowing lower, the mixed up mower. He said he was thinking about doing it as a kid's book, but he said, isn't there enough mixed up things out there? And then he said, what about the metaphoric mower? And his parents called. They said, that would be you because you didn't. And I said, I mowed the lawn sometimes. But they said, I'd like to mow away your thoughts tonight, if you don't mind me, you know, just making it easy. And just like the droning of a mower, you know, drowns out all joy. You know, when you finally, if you have the willpower to buy a hammock and put up a hammock and make lemonade, first of all, silent applause for you because bravo. And then you get rid of all the people in your life that are going to bother you or want to, you know, get something out of you. Then you finally get into the, what is that thing called? A hammock. Did I call it something else earlier? But you get into that hammock. That's when that freaking bonehead next door starts his mower up. And he probably says, hey, Jerry, this one's whisper quiet. You see, first of all, don't talk to me. I'm pretending to read the paper. And second of all, it's not whisper quiet. It's wicked annoying, your mower. Oh boy, I just got on a soapbox. I guess also don't get on a soapbox in a hammock. Trust me on that one. But I think that's it. Just trying to pull it all together. But basically, it's a podcast. I'm your boyfriend. I'm going to try to take your mind off stuff, keep you company in the deep, dark night. And I'll just ramble. Tonight, we're going to be talking about... It's a Sunday night, so we'll be talking about Metastasis News, which is a Colombian version of Breaking Bad. So we'll do a segment with some of the Spanish words I tried to learn. It'll be a little bit of a story. It'll be a little bit saying, what is going on here? And I'll say, exactly, just go to sleep. Don't worry. Then I'll talk about the Metastas News episode. Then I'll talk about the vanilla, most vanilla version of the corresponding Breaking Bad episode. And it'll be just to take your mind off of whatever's been, you know, nagging at you. And listen, I'm glad you're here. If this is your first few times here, you say, geez, what is this thing? It's just your boyfriend to take your mind off. So it's not for everybody. To say I'm an acquired taste would be a gigantic understatement. I guess if you say, will it be the opposite? I guess you'd have to turn and say, yeah, you need to acquire a taste. Instead of I'm acquired taste, it's like mutton or something. I don't know what mutton tastes like, but you probably have to acquire a taste for it. But ideally, as you do, I put you to sleep. So give it a few tries. You know, you're under no pressure to fall asleep. I'll be here giving it my all till the end, just in case you can't. But I thank you, and I really yearn. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. So thanks for coming by. Housekeeping, we're on the web, www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. I want to thank Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful, who does our theme music. Carl W., who edited this episode. Jonathan Mann, who does our lullabies, he's at jonathanmann.net. You can commission a song from him. I want to thank, the listeners have a Facebook group over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods. I want to thank our moderators over there, Sarah Summer, Laura Lida, Julie and Jennifer. And we have a subreddit at sleepwithmepodcast.com/reddit. And that is it. Let's get on with the show. All right, so here we are. We're back doing Spanish. So it's going to be, anyway, it's like, I apologize. This isn't on purpose. How mangled my Spanish is going to be here, because it's been it's been since March that I've done this, but I'm going to do my best to tell a little story based on the Spanish words I tried to learn from this episode 46, Metastas News, the Colombian version of Breaking Bad. So dijo sospechado is something a lot of people that listen to the show, they say, I was suspecting he said, you know, Scooch, I was saying, what does he say? And I was like, repente, like suddenly I realized que le dijo, he said, Carl Puesta, Carset. And I wondered if he was talking about Matchbox cars. Uno sitio, uno solo. One place, one, he was talking about. And I may say, maybe I'm listening into Scoots playing with Matchbox cars. And you were right, because that's what I was doing. I was sitting there at PNC thinking, well, geez, if I'm going to design my own car lot and, you know, give it to my future hijo, my future son, and I owned a Matchbox car lot, if for parking purposes, you know, be like nada grave, nothing serious. That's what nothing serious parking. And our parking would feature dialogar, dialogue. We say, good afternoon, welcome to a nothing serious parking. No lo haga, do not do it. Do not do it. We don't, you know, don't do anything serious here. Bear suena, you see how it sounds? And then they'd give me their car. I would park it. Le dije, I told you, you know, nothing serious. Stay calm. We'll park your car. Cubrime ayuda, you know, help cover me while I park your car, because I'll be back parking your car if anybody pulls it. My future son is not existing yet. But they toma, and they take it. They never take me seriously. So then they usually, they say, lindo su gesto. That was a cute gesture, Scoots. And I'd say, ninguna, any customers want to help me park cars? And it's raro, pero venga. It's rare, but they come. They come with their Matchbox cars, all the kids in the neighborhood. Podía ser eso. It could be that they heard I was the best Matchbox car shiner in the world. And you might say, why? I'd say, well, Canal Cerebro, I have channel brain. You know, some pathways are so well-worn, you know, I have a case of channel brain. Hablando, speaking as a non-professional. Some people, tampoco meten, they also put it to pereza, laziness. It's never, I guess, because it's lazier to shine a matchbox car than a real car. Well, excuse me, why don't you park your matchbox car right in frente, right in front then. Ya mismo, right now. You know, fuerza hiciera. The force did it. You know, I'll wax that car right now. Maldita ser, you know, no bad, no cursing while I do it. I'll do it with joy. Que socio yo que clase. I associate this kind of work, you know, with pegar pay. I don't get paid to wax matchbox cars because it's all little kids. Alcanza reaches across, you know, across the nation. Kids are giving me their matchbox cars. And, you know, vale más que eso. It's worth more than just money to me. Because nadie, there's no one else doing this. Matchbox car waxing and detailing. You know, there's matchbox car washes, but they're for play. You know, they don't really do the kind of work I do. Yes, say, already I'm at the top of my game. Vecino, my neighbor brought some by. Mucho, a lot of cars. And they said the strangest thing to me, which gave me an idea. They said, muy merecido, gracias, estufa. Because they tipped me 4 cents. They said, well, this, it was a, you know, a 12-year-old. Well-deserved. Thanks, stove. And I said, is that my nickname, the stove? And they said, dejado por si llamada. You know, I would have left if someone called me stove. And I said, estufa, I like how that sounds. And I said, Digame, tell me, does that what the kids did? And they were gone. And so I knew it's time to turn on my channel brain, you know, igualmente callados. It was like a, it's like a silent mind, my channel brain, where I, you know, I just get in the zone. Iran, they were, you know, gone. All the customers were just waiting for me to wash their cars all alone. Donde la parabola. Where the word is clean matchbox cars, llamas, never, you know, never give up, never surrender. And so I started waxing, you know, we're cleaning. First you wipe them down, SOS, that's step one. Secar, then you take Mentros Tanto, both, you shake both sides of the car. You know, always take a mindset of propia, like you own the car, and like you're ganar plata, like you're earning money. Some Tito, the subject, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, and you could start where you want, ruedas. You could start at the wheels or the tires. You could set a timbre, becas, or timbre ba, like a bell that will ring, you know, when you think, or ring it after you wash it. I like to, you know, I think my skill comes from Según lo canto, according to, I sing to the car. And, you know, when people are cercana nearby, you know, they might stop and say, who's singing to matchbox cars? And then someone says scoots, and then someone says claro que es. So of course it is. Of course it is. But I'll tell you what, a man that sings to matchbox cars currently has no enemigos, you know, no enemies, you know, cause they treat the cars like a baby, like they're a little baby. And sure, people say I'm a burro, like a donkey singing and cleaning cars for free. Otro lado odia, you know, the other side, the matchbox car dirtiers, they don't like it, but I don't care, you know, que a mí, that a vengarse, like, I don't have any reason to get back at them, because, you know, tablero, I'm on board, it's like a hilera, like a row in a boat, I wash cars, and, you know, I'll even clean up, you know, if I have to get paint I'm not good at the painting part, so I probably should hire somebody. You know, if there's a letter on the car, it needs to be repaired. But this is no novedad, no novelty to me. And you might have some legitimate questions, like, Tomano consigue, does this bigger size cost more money? And I would say, un pista, you're on the track to compete with me, it sounds like. Pongale suyo. Put yours, you know, but why don't you work with me? Put yours with mine. And, you know, cuida, you know, treat your cars with care. This is no truco, no trick. Because obivo, casi salir. Obviously, if I leave, you know, someone else is going to have to clean the cars. You know, que pena, what a pity it would be if these cars weren't cleaned. Pues dijo, for he said, my kingdom for Queen Matchbox car. Acaban, you know, just one clean Matchbox car. Oh, quien, who said that? The king once. Alguna duda, do you have any more questions about this Matchbox car cleaning business? Oh, you're only four. Puede irse, you could leave your car and go then. Oh, he forgot, Sugoro, his cap. Hasta la próxima, until next time. And when your car is clean, ya boy ba ala, I'll go there. And as they say in the internet business, subalo, I'll upload it, you know, to your front door. And sierra testigos, I don't need any witnesses close by. You can trust me. Because with me, I say, hey, cabales rutina. There's no routine cleaning of cars. You know, camino, the path is clear. Yo lo hago, I do it. Despejando, a clearing of the car. Capazes, it's what I'm able to do. Ninguno, any car. And why do I clean Matchbox cars? Que tengo honor. I have honor in doing it, in the hard work. And when I'm dejando atrás recuerden, you know, when I remember me, when I'm leaving behind this legacy of car cleaning. Mirame, look at me, Yamato, it's called, one, informe, I report, your car's done, it's cleaned. I took care of all the detalles, the details. And Roto Abero is broken for everyone to see. And when the cars come in, I say, tenemos mucha hacer, I've got a lot to do. Adelante Baconcito Allegra, it's freaking awesome. And I'm looking forward to being happy while I clean it. And some people would say que fue esperando bola. He was expecting a ball, and all he got was, a clean car. But a dile, you know, tell everybody, gane, I win, because I clean Matchbox cars. All right, thanks and good night. All right, so here we are back, episode 46. It's been a while since I've recorded. This is actually the first recording I'm going to be doing. It's been about 12 weeks since I've recorded one of these, and believe it or not, like a little behind the scenes. So before the Game of Thrones ramp-up started, you know, I was trying to get to the end of season 4 for American Breaking Bad. And I was trying to get through these episodes, and I couldn't. So I feel like I was furiously working, and I only made it till 26 minutes in. I'd taken notes of the first rewatch of Metastasis News. So we're going to start here at 26 minutes. I couldn't find my old notes, but Netflix knew, because Netflix said, oh, we'll start at 26 minutes. So I thought that would be fun. So 26 minutes in Metastasis, it opens with a bed. There's a picture of two boys. We see the letter board, and we know it's Don Salamanca's room. He's in a green sweater. Don is, I think, the Don. Walter's in his shower with a blue curtain. And then Walter asks, and then says, and then I said, and this is all in Spanish, so I'm not sure. No answer, something, word. Then Killian Corrigan pulls up, old that guy that was the child of Killian Murphy and Billy Corrigan. He rolls in, he's looking around, he sees Don Salamanca's room, he sneaks in there. Also noticed Don Salamanca had some candles set up. He had a purple candle and a red candle. I don't know if they were scented. Looked like they were. Killian checks the room for bugs, you know, the listening bugs, not the bugs. Some other word, Eve. Oh, even on Don Hector. He looks at his gold chain even. And something is woe need about it. Locker, Hector is no need about, oh, worried about it. A little bit like, sometimes read my handwriting, so a little bit like it's an investigation. Hector is worried about it. All the bug checking. Then he checks the whole room. He looks in the shower. Walt's in the room next door, hiding. But Killian rolls in the room next door, but doesn't see Walt. It was a close call. Killian goes back to the room, and Walt just runs right out of the whole hotel. Then we have Jose in some sort of police station with an investigator. He seems to clear Jose, question mark. Jose fidgets his hat. He calls Anton. What does that mean? Calls Anton. Oh, Andrea. Gets a taxi, but he gets picked up by somebody else. Killian is on the phone with Gus. Gus says no. Gus takes off his jacket. There's action tension music. Gus pulls up to the retirement home under guard. He gets the all clear. He calls. Gus goes to Hector. He's like, yo, what's up with the cops? And Gus is grilling him. And then Gus is like, huh, we're going to have to deal with this. And they lock eyes. And Hector rings his bell a few times. And it doesn't work. But then Gus figures it out. And it's a bell of goodbyes. And everyone but Gus and Hector and Killian are all gone. They just all go to Belltown. Then Walt's all Heisenberg. He's listening to the radio. He finds out. Then Jose's at the lab. He's working under guard. Walt busts in. He's like, Gustavo's out. And he says, let's get to work. They like totally redo the lab. They're very in sync. And we see even Gail's coffee maker. We say goodbye to that. All product, everything in the lab must go. Then we see Walt waiting. He's waiting and waiting. He meets Jose on a roof. Jose's very sad, but it's not Racine, some flower. And they shake hands. They say goodbye. And then we see Walt, who looks sad. Jose looks back. Walt cries when he's alone a little bit. Then we're at Henry's and Maria's house. They're watching the news. Cielo gets a call from Walt. I'm muy bien. He says, I'm good. She tells him the news about Gustavo. And Cielo, this is my paraphrasing. Cielo wants to know if he did it. Walt smiles and says, oh, hell yeah, I did it. And then he drives out to the Heisenberg theme song. And then we see the Lily of the Valley. And then we see Gus's car and Walt glares at it. And that's how the episode ended. But how, yeah, how do, Scoots, when you're mixing stuff up, how does the episode open? Well, it opens with Walt's car. He grabs his pipe that he left on Gus's car. So I guess it was Gus's car. Walt's in a crisp black shirt. Margaret troubles. Pegura on wall. There's always some mysterious things I write. Margaret troubles Pegura on wall. I don't know what that means. Oh, magnet troubles and Margaret troubles. His magnet and his pipe got stuck to the elevator. Oh, penguin on the wall. Yes, you see, stick with it. It comes, there's a giant penguin decal on the wall. Jose's waiting. Walt's mad. He's like, Gus knew everything. Walt also has a baby bag with his pipe in it. And Walt's all bent out of shape. He's like, what is with the cops roll up, though? And they're on Jose. Well, it's like, hey, what do you want? And they say, what's your name, bro? Atamos Volando. That's the name of the episode. Atamos Volando. And Jose leaves with them. Then the episode opens. And Jose's in an interview with the cops. They're asking him questions. One cop has a nice blue notebook. Racina. They're really grilling Jose, but he asked for his lawyer, Saul Bueno. So then we go to Saul's office. There's shredding going on with his paralegal. There's glass sounds, and Walt's trying to get in there. And she's like, what are you doing? And Walt says, you're not answering the phone, and the doors are locked. And then something happens. She's like, dude, you got to give me a bunch of money. This is the paralegal for Saul's phone number or location or something. And Walt doesn't have enough. I think she wanted $5 million, not American dollars, but, and Walt's like, hold on. Then he crawls back out to Holy Maid in the door, goes back to his house, calls his neighbor, Rebecca. She has to come in and check Walt's house. Walt sees, at first I was like, are those teens or bad guys? And they're bad guys. They're leaving Walt's house. His phone rings. He gets the all clear from Rebecca. Rolls into his house, grabs his cash. Those dudes are in his house, so. And Walt rolls out. The only thing that was confusing was I thought the money was in the basement. Or some secret room Walt discovered. But then he rolls out. He's in a room above his garage. Because he has to jump down off the side of the garage. So I said, was he upstairs or downstairs? Then we're back with the cops and Jose. They're trying to wait Jose out, but he's joking around. Saul rolls in. He says, is the cops calling Jose an idiot? Saul kicks him out. He says, adios, arrivederci, hasta la vista, roof, roof. Then Saul's meeting with Walt about Hector. They're in some backyard with a dog in a treehouse, I think. And then Saul says something, Walt says, Claro KS, about the connection with Hector and Gus. Old friends are old enemies. Then Walt rolls into Hector's room. He talks to him. He pulls up a chair. He says, I'm giving you an opportunity, Hector. And Hector's in his room with his robe. He rings his bell a ton. This is another scene. Nurse comes in. She asks what he wants. He wants his tablet. Couldn't tell. These are the letters I saw, but I totally had the system. ELELAZMOR? Then we see Gomez. He's not in a fleece, but he's in a vest. It's a puffy vest. Like a down vest without down. His collar was up too. So I said, he's getting pretty happy. Henry in need grace. Notices, oh, Henry in neck brace notices some motor. He's like, check this out, Gomez. Too much electrical power. Una pista. But Gomez has new news. Something about Hector Salamanca. Maria's worried. Looked like she was reading a mini dictionary at the time. And they all talk about Hector Salamanca. Then we have Henry, Hector, and all the cops. He spells out some word like C-U-C-H-U-O-P-A, stares at Henry, some swear word. He was messing with them, ? I put. Then he stares at Henry as he's getting in the elevator, winks and laughs. And then we have Killian. He sees Don Hector leaving the police station. He calls Gus with the problem. He says, yo, Hector's with the cops. And then that leads, actually, the Hector and the cops, that leads into the beginning of the episode. So that's it for the Metastas news, and now we'll talk about Breaking Bad. All right, here we are, season 4, episode 13, Face Off. And it starts in the basement, parking lot. Walt's running, he goes under Gus's car, he grabs some kind of pipe. And I said, I didn't know Walt was a choker, and he has a diaper bag. And Walt's holding it tight. We see Jesse, he's sitting. We see Walt's diaper bag is magnetized. It gets stuck to the side of the elevator. Walt's mad. He's in a very green shirt, a checkered shirt. Both him and Jesse are kind of arguing. Like, Walt's like, geez, Jesse, would you tip Walt Gus off? And Jesse's like, dude, what are you doing with a pipe in a diaper bag? You know, this is a hospital. And Walt's like, what am I supposed to, you know, this is very typical, but a little more intense, their agitation. Walt's like, I got to find Gus so I can, you know, talk to him about some stuff. What's one place I could find him? And we have a call forward because, like, every place has a camera. And he goes, one place, Jesse, think. You got to figure it out. And Jesse doesn't know. Then these two cops roll up. Jesse looked pretty much ready to cry. And the cops are like, hey, we want to talk to you, Jesse Pinkman. And Walt's like, I'm sorry, who are you? And they're like, sorry, you know, what's your name? And Walt's like, oh, excuse me, sorry, never mind. And Jesse's like, is this official questioning? Or, and they're like, oh, no, no, we're your friends, don't worry. When they walk off, the episode opens, then Jesse's in the cops are in like an interview room, out of focus, kind of through some wire mesh. And they're grilling Jesse about how did he know how to take care of Brock so good. And they're all in his case. And Jesse's like, you know what? I watch a house. You know that show House? I watch it a lot. Or maybe, and he's like, I also watch the Discovery Channel. Did you guys love Shark Week as much as I do? Because you know what they say out on the streets of ABQ is Pinkman loves Shark Week. And Jesse says, sometimes your brain just makes these connections. And then he's like, I got to get out of here. And then they're like, well, you can't really leave. We're talking. And Jesse's like, well, maybe I'll call my lawyer. And then they're back and forth, adversarial, blah, blah, blah. And they're kind of being rude to Jesse. And Jesse says, Saul Goodman, that's my guy. So am I going to call him or are you? Then we have Saul's office. The phone's ringing. Saul's paralegal's shredding things. There's knocking. Can't read that word. Something. Oh, knocking harder. Walt broke in. He's bent, out of shape. And this was a great scene because the paralegal really gives it to Walt. Walt says, she's like, why'd you break in here? He's like, I need to talk to Saul. And he goes, well, you could have answered the phone or the door. And he goes, you know where he is? I need his number. And she goes, let me explain something to you. And he goes, me and Jesse are in trouble. And she goes, whoop-dee-doo. Why do you think he's not here? Because he goes, what are you, the two idiots back in trouble? And she goes, and then you just bust in here? And he goes, okay. And she goes, you are a pain in my butt, buddy. And I'm going to lose my job because of you. And I was getting ready to leave, and now you broke the door. So now I got to make sure the door is fixed. And then Walt's like, oh, I'll pay for it. Here's $1,700. That should cover it. Now I apologize profusely, he says. And she's like, it's going to be more than $1,700. And Walt's like, really? And he's like, she's like, really? She goes, about $20,000. And then Walt complains. She's like, okay, $25,000. And then Walt's like, okay. Also, she had a nice paisley blouse on, I noticed. And then Walt has to fumble back out. It's hilarious. And he races home. He scouts out his house. He calls information. That was something people used to do before Google. And he asks for Becky J's phone number, his neighbor. And he's like, hey, Becky, my junior left the stove on. Can you go in there and check on the stove of my house? He goes, oh, yeah, you're a lifesaver. I'll wait your call. And then Walt watches her kind of go in to his house. You know, typical Walt, send somebody else in. Becky also has, she has a cane, but she's a fast mover. She was moving fast. Walt sees some guys on the side of his house. But Becky calls back. First of all, was worried, but then Becky calls back. He goes, oh, that's a relief. She's like, the stove's off. So then Walt goes over his back fence, goes through his sliding glass door, goes into the crawl space. He sees some shadows, so he crawls back out through the into the crawl space, crawls under his house, then back out and over the fence and limps away. Then we have Jesse with the cops, and he's like, they're still grilling him. He's like, you two just won't give up. And then that's when Saul shows up, and they're like, Jesse says, yeah, a couple of detectives, a couple of dicks. And they're like, oh, he's a wordsmith. And then Bob Odenkirk really, he goes, okay, make like you got manners, like you respect the law. Au revoir. Avita Zane, hasta luego, get out of here, bye-bye. And then they leave, and then Saul's all bent at Jesse. And Jesse's like, you can get me out of here? He goes, no, this is going to take a little while, but you're better off in here. And Jesse's like, well, how's Walt doing? He goes, he's okay, like fruit fly okay. He goes, we're on the clock here. And he goes, why are you sticking your wings in a hornet's nest? And he goes, I came here for information on, you know, Gus, where he's going to be. And Jesse says, I've been thinking. And Saul's like, and he goes, Casa Tranquila, it's an old folks home. And he goes, we used to visit Tio Salamanca there. And then he says, okay, it doesn't ring a bell. And then he's like, actually, that's funny because he does ring a bell. And so I think Jesse has been thinking. I forget what that says. I didn't put a joke there. And then we have Walt and Saul talking. T.O. Salamanca. Maybe that's when the bell thing comes up. That's when the bell joke comes up. He actually has to ring a bell. And then Walt says, yes, I know. And then they say, well, geez, Gus goes to bring, what's the big deal? He goes to visit him. He goes, that's not helpful. He goes, I can't just sit around the nursing home waiting for a visit. It's not like they're even friends. And he goes, yeah, Jesse says he doesn't think he liked him. Like he was giving him bad news or something. And then the light goes off over Walt. So he goes, oh, they're not friends. They don't like each other. And then we have a bingo game, and it's pretty good. There's a lot of good bingo jokes. I love bingo jokes myself. I think I told this. I used to volunteer when I lived in L.A., East L.A. I volunteered at the Anthony Quinn Public Library, and I would read like a summer reading program. Or I guess it was like a, you know, drop-in program for kids. I did the bingo. And I would, you know, I crushed the jokes there with the kids. I mean, they were little kids, like, but this was me, I guess me and, you know, the very Breaking Bad team and the Better Call Saul's bingo jokes too. So, you know, it's a great bingo jokes. So they had some good ones. Because everyone says it's a cover all game and the next whole shmoly or something. Is B number three, like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, and then 074. I mean, I like B4, like when B4 comes up, I, you know, look before you leap, you know, I think they even did that on, but that, you know, it's kind of an easy joke, but it's still good. Just because it's easy doesn't mean it's not, like, you can't get material out of it. So there's bingo chatter. Walt rolls in. Tio's sitting there. He's watching Big Joe on the TV, which was like a, what do you call that? Squeeze back show, accordion show. Tio scowls at Walt. Walt makes him an offer. He says, you know, I have an opportunity for you. And then we have Tio in his room. He does a bunch of bell ringing, and a really nice nurse comes in, but then she's really demeaning to him. She goes, oh, do you have to poopy? She had lime green pants on. I also noticed that. And then they figure out, they go through his chart to communicate. And then it ends up, he says, DEA. And she's still demeaning. She goes, I don't think that's a word, Mr. Salamanca. DEA. Or she says, dear? Deal? She goes, DEA isn't a word. And then we show Walt watching Casa Tranquila in time lapse. No cops, sleep phone. What does that mean? No cops, he sleeps, the phone rings, and Junior calls, all annoyed. I'm trying to tell Walt to take stuff seriously, and then Marie's worried, and Uncle Hank, and Marie wants to get on the phone with Walt, and Walt says, I'm not on anyone's radar, or you don't have to worry about it. And we see Hank, he's in a neck brace, he's caught up on the computer. Steve Gomez rolls in a shirt and a tie. And Hank shows him these 72-amp panels. He's like, that's too much power for, he goes, there's two of them. It's too much power for a laundry. And Steve Gomez has a good line. He goes, what are you, Thomas Edison? And that crushed me. And then Hank goes deadpan. He goes, no, I asked a bunch of electricians on these internet chat rooms. Freaking internet. You can find anything on it. And he goes, let's go check it out. And then Steve says, we actually got this other lead. Tio Salamanca wants to talk to you. Only you, only in person. Of course, Marie, who has the best gut on the show, as far as like... she's been right so many times. She knows something's up. She doesn't know what's up, but she's wrong. But she's right that something's up. But Hank doesn't care. He rolls into the office, but he had a retro bowling shirt on. But Tio just cracks a joke. He says he wastes all their time. There's about 30 people in the meeting, and he says, S-U-C-K-M-Y. And they say, geez, what is he? And then Hank says, yeah, thanks, I can spell. And then he tries one more time. And Hector's like so happy, Tio Salamanca, that he's annoying Hank. He goes, yeah, we got it. And the nurse is like, I'm so sorry. Then they're on, and like Hector winks at Hank. Then we see Gus's guy. I forgot his name. It'll come to me. We may have a problem. He calls. He's at the police station. Gus is at work. There's a Fun Run poster in the background. And he's like, you know, Tia Salamanca just left the police station. And then we see Nurse. She's mad at Hector. Then we see Walt in a room. He goes into Tio's room. He says, any second thoughts? And Tio's like, you know, and they said, let's get to work. Then Tyrus rolls up in an Oldsmobile. That's Gus's guy. Really good. Breaking Bad has some of the best sound design. So there's this great, there's flags in the wind. And there's that great clanking sound that flags make when the brass part of the clamp and the string hit the flagpole. One of the great sounds in the world. I'm not kidding either. Let's see, he smiles, he's at a woman as he walks down the hall, Tyrus. He checks the room for bugs, checks the bathroom. Hector fidgets, he's nervous, he's looking out the window. And Walt's hiding, like, in a super tan woman, he's in front of her window, she just keeps saying hi to him. It looks like the woman from Something About Mary. It felt like it had to be, like, an inside joke or something. Then Walt rolls, he rolls out to Casa Tranquila's dumpster and then gets out of there. Then Pinkman gets released from jail, tries to catch a cab, calls Andrea. And then Gus is at his office and Tyrus is like, I got this place under control. It's just Tio. And Gus is like, I'm on my way. He's like, no, we'll take care of it, boss. And Gus says, no, this is my business. I'll take care of it. And we just see this chess match is unfolding, and it's Walt. It's the lead of the chess match. You know, we see Gus with his cameras, 200-count cutlery pack in Gus's office, so he keeps extra storage there, takes his tie off, bass is pumping. And Gus is in the passenger seat of his car, staring, sitting. Is he sad? Is he scared? His eyes are glassy. He gets a call. It's all clear. He takes a deep breath. He's dressed up. He's in a blazer, black slacks, with a shirt and a tie. Kind of a blue checkered plaid, no, navy plaid, a nice navy plaid. He does a slow walk into Casa Tranquila. There's a wonderful music. Then he goes into Tio's room, and it just goes back to the base. And he's kind of like, geez, what a reputation you're going to leave behind, Tio. And he goes, it's your last chance to look at me. And there's a slow drag. Oh, Gus drags a chair over so slowly. He frowns and sits down. This is before the dialogue. Tyrus is mixing up cocktails in the back. And then, yeah, Gus demands eye contact. And then Hector's face changes. As he goes for eye contact, his face goes from sad to furious. And then Gus tries to put his tie up for the last time. He says, I'm done wearing a tie. Goodbye, Albuquerque. Then we have Walt at the airport parking lot listening to the radio. And he grimaces and he drives. He was listening to Coyote 102.5. And the next songs were going to be by Aerosmith and Def Leppard, coming up on Coyote 102.5, Albuquerque's Real Rock. Then we see a canister of the C2H4O2. And Jesse's prepping and cooking. He's under guard. And he does the next step, though the guard's like, next step, CO2, do it. And then the doorbell rings. Walt's in the freight elevator. Jesse's surprised to see Walt. Walt has his Heisenberg look on as he kind of breaks the news to Jesse. He goes, hey, we don't work for Gus anymore, but we have work to do. It's a great scene. Around 40, oh no, that's the end of the scene. It's at 43 minutes, but they're in total sync here. Really fun scene, great guitar, flamenco music. And they take the lab out, F and B pants, super cool looks. So as they leave the lab, and they walk out in sync, it's just a great scene. Then we see Walt's against the dusk sky, his back. Something, oh, at the garage again. Jesse comes out. He's like, oh, I got great news on Brock. He's fine. And there's a hazy sun. And both Jesse and Walt are like, thank God it wasn't the rice. You know, we don't want a white rice allergy. And then Walt is all surprised about Lily of the Valley. He's all acting. And then Jesse's like, so Gus didn't do anything, huh? But still, he had to leave Albuquerque. Like, darn right he did. And then there's like a two shot, at like the two of them from the side, the shot of like a of, you know, camera shot of them against the sky. And it's like this slow, loving but awkward handshake. I didn't write down the time, but after 43 minutes at some point. If you turn this episode on at 40, well, I guess it depends on what you want to see, but yeah, there's this long holding handshake, and Walt wipes his eyes. He's breathing. Jesse leaves. Walt calls Skyler and say, hey, how are you? Or maybe Skyler said that because Walt says, I'm doing quite well. I'm good. And then Skyler's like, have you seen the news? And Walt, he says, oh, you know, oh boy. And she goes, wait, Walt, do you know, did you see the news or not? And Walt goes, it's all over, you know, everything's going to be okay. And she goes, well, what happened? Were you involved? And Walt says, I won. He said it very croaky. I had to listen. I thought it was like when I was rewatching, I was like, oh, is it going to be? But it was very croaky and quiet. So I had to re-listen to it. And then there's, what does that say? Shook shots. Then there's happy music. Walt rolls out of the garage. He stops and looks at Gus's car. He glares at the Hermanos air freshener. And the music, it's the song Black by Nora Jones. Actually, hold on, I'm going to look up the lyrics. Yeah, it's Black by Nora Jones and Danger Mouse. We touch the walls of the city streets, dead-end plane. Sadly showed us our ways of never asking why. Cast down, it was heaven sent. And turn to the church, no intent to repent on my knees, just to cry. Until you travel that place, you can't come back. Until you travel that place, you can't come back. Remember that, where the last painting's gone and all that's left is black. And this isn't the first time the song's played. I just don't have the notes in front of me. Gray nights, he's coming to me. And someday they'll punish my deeds and they'll find all the crimes. But then they ask, when they gonna see them? Then they gonna ask to feel the ghosts, the walls, the dreams. Well, I've got mine. At last those coming came, but they never looked back. With the blinding stars in their eyes, but all they saw was black. Fooling them, hoping to seem like a slave of evil, but the product of greed, and it's not a mask, so be honest with me. We can't afford to ignore that I'm the disease. Talk about subtext, holy moly. Practical sense we had to be, and when they were old, they came back to me, and they tried, oh, they tried. And when you follow through and wind up on your back, looking up at those stars in the sky, those white clouds have turned it black. It says the songwriters are Brian Joseph Burton and Danielle Lupi, L-U-P-P-I. So that's some serious, and that was the end of season 4. Quite a close. Excellent.